all in hand. Saying, Daddy, can we play a little one-on-one? You pat him on the back and say, not now, son, I'm a busy man. His sister's out on the sidewalk, setting up a lemonade stand. Hey, Daddy, don't you want to buy a glass for me? You say, maybe later. Can't you see I'm a busy man? You gotta go, gotta run, hit it hard and get it done. Everyone can see you're going far. You got responsibilities, a crazy schedule that you keep. And when you say the time's wasting, you don't know how right you are. Busy man. Woman in the bedroom crying, saying I thought we had plans. You say, honey, I'm sorry, I'll make it up when the job slows down and I'm not such a busy man. You gotta go, gotta run, hit it hard and get it done. Everyone can see you're going far. You got responsibilities, a crazy schedule that you keep, and when you say the time's a waste, you don't know how right you are. Busy man. Have you ever seen a headstone with these words? If only I had spent more time at work. There's a call one day from the office, they need you down in Birmingham. You say, no way, the weekend's mine. I got plans with the kids and a day with my wife. I'm a busy man. You gotta go, gotta run, take a break and have some fun. Those who love you most say you've come far. Got some new priorities in that schedule that you keep. And when you say the time's wasting, now you know how right you are. Busy man. Busy man.
I'm always glad when there's good resolution to a film, a TV show, a song. And so we see here that the calling on us as men is a high calling. And as we've been using Philip's book, The Masculine Mandate, as a guide here, I like what he says here. He says, in reality, the fact that women are unfathomable to men is God's intended blessing for us. We are called to keep studying, keep working at this relationship with our wife. And so as we're working through this, we first of all see in Genesis chapter 3 that they saw that the apple or the fruit, she took it of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And so there's this dilemma of creating a false dilemma. You see, God's gifts convey a blessing only when enjoyed in obedience to God. And Satan directed his first attack on God's creation through the man-woman relationship. He attacked at a point where the man and woman were vulnerable and where Satan was threatened by their partnership. So if I can separate them, if I can divide them and work on one while the other just stands there, instead of speaking up right away, because he had heard from the Lord the requirements She had actually got it second hand. So we, instead of embracing the gift and rejecting the giver, I need to embrace the giver. You see, if we are to learn to deal with sin effectively, we must face it clearly. We have this temptation put before us. And instead of buying the lie that that temptation offers, we see it for what it is. And instead of seeing that tree and just avoiding it, they started rationalizing. And that's what can happen in a marriage. So this love is estranged. You see in Genesis 3, verse 7, "Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." So our hearts and our minds are corrupted by sin, and the free intimacy of their love relationship was polluted by sin. And so as a result, there's a struggling for intimacy while trying to self-protect. And what is needed here is forgiveness and repentance. And if you remember the story, what happened was, what did they do next? Well, they heard the sounds of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So they hide from God. And then, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So they hid from God, and then they start shifting blame. And so what has happened as a result of that? Well, marriage is cursed by our failure. And we see God's curse on the woman beginning at verse 16. "To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.'" So there's pain in conflict, there's pain in childbirth, and then there's this unwholesome desire toward the man. And that has been a problem ever since. And then we see God's curse on the man as we continue on, verse 17. "And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" And so the ground is cursed. And the primary threat to the safety of our loved ones is always our sin. So how can I avoid hurting those that are around me? I avoid sin. Now, what's the purpose of the curse? Well, even God's curses are designed with redemption in view. And so the purpose of the curse is to return marriage to its original purpose and intent. And that is that God had his ultimate provision in, we see that in Genesis 3:21. "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." And so he provided for them. And he does this also each and every day. And then what's the hope for our renewal? Well, we see this in Colossians 3:12-14. "Therefore, as the elect of God and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." And so the curse of sin is redeemed in Christ. I do not have to wait. You do not have to wait until I fully understand my wife. You don't have to wait until you fully understand your wife in order to love her. I am free in Christ to love my wife. I can truly forgive her. I can gladly give to her. I can show God's grace. This is what makes a difference. So I may be too busy in and of myself. I need to stop and reflect what really matters the most when it comes down to life. Even as Cyrus said in that last song, the things that are our tombstone aren't going to be, I should have spent more time at work or at the office. What am I doing with this beautiful person that God has given me?